We're going to begin in Matthew's Gospel this morning, Matthew chapter 1. And I'll let you in on a secret. And the secret is, not sure where we're going this morning. That's the secret. Not too sure where the Lord wants to take us and what he wants to do, but I do know that it's good. And he's got a great plan for you this morning. And he wants to bless you. And you know, we are well aware, and the world tells us, because all the shops are full, and the roads are busy, and the kids are getting excited, and it's nearly Christmas time. But for us, as people who really believe in Jesus, Christmas is a time of miracles. Why don't you just say that? Christmas is a time of miracles. I mean, every time with God is a time of miracles, but Christmas is a time of miracles. When you read the Christmas story, you read in the Bible, and you don't take it like, you know, because you've heard it so many times, you've sung all the carols, and you just go through the motions, but you actually listen to this amazing, miraculous story about God stepping in to the darkest, hopeless despair place and bringing hope, bringing light, bringing actually the gift of his life. When you really think about the Christmas story, it's nothing but a miracle. It's a total miracle. And we've already heard this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it's a miracle of love. And probably the biggest miracle of all that will ever happen is that you receive the gift of Jesus Christ. You receive him as your Lord and Savior. That is the biggest miracle you will ever have happen in your life. Because he is the one who gives you hope in this world and hope for eternity. He's the one who is the way to heaven. And so Christmas really reminds us that this amazing God, the God who made absolutely everything we see and everything we don't see, is the one who actually sent his son to become a person, a man. He began life as you and I did in the womb of a woman, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. His father was God, not Joseph. It was a supernatural creation. It was a supernatural work of God that brought God into the earth as a son, as a man. And many people surrounding the life and birth of Jesus experienced miracles. The shepherds experienced a miracle when those angels showed up and they heard him announcing good news of great joy. The wise men experienced a miracle because they didn't just see a star or follow a star. They actually met their creator and their king on the day they actually entered into the place to see Jesus, and they gave him gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh. They saw him. It was a miracle. In the signs of the stars were actually declaring something. The shepherds, these people who were ordinary people, actually heard this amazing news that Jesus, the Son of God, was born. And it's always needing to be a miracle in our hearts and lives that we take this time as God's people to really think and thank God for Jesus. Think it through and thank him for Jesus. Because it is nothing but a miracle that he loved you and me so much. And if God so loved the world, it means he so loved you. He so loved you personally that he gave his son. And I really feel sometimes that yours and my heart, we can get a little bit tired about hearing the same news. that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And sometimes the impact of this gift of God's son doesn't actually hit us in the way that it really should. And it doesn't actually change our lives in the way that it should. And I believe by the end of today, God wants to do something fresh and new in each one of us so that we are overflowing with thankfulness and praise. And if you're a quiet person, then today is going to change because you're going to overflow with thankfulness and praise. You're not going to be an introvert as a Christian because all Christians are extroverts because they speak out their thanks, their praise. We don't keep it hidden. We speak it out. And I believe that if you're so happy, you can't shut up. And I believe if you see what you really have in God, you'll never be quiet. And you won't let the things about your life and the circumstances that you're in ever stop you from giving thanks for Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 1, we read about the birth of Jesus. And let's read verse 18 of chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother was Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, who's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is Lord and Christ. Now, this particular verse 22 says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And that verse is so significant in that God didn't just suddenly get a plan. He always had a plan. And he always does. God always has a plan. He's never without a plan. Even when mankind messed up the plan through sin, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they entered into rebellion against God. Satan filled their lives and began to dominate their lives, took their authority to rule the earth, and began to rule the earth. Satan actually took the keys of authority of Adam, and he began to rule mankind. Even then, God had a plan, and you can read about it in Genesis, you can see it through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all the way through. And this next verse is through the prophet Isaiah, verse 22. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now, this particular word or prophecy came through a prophet called Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. Now, think about that. 700 years before, Isaiah, filled with the Spirit, spoke by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets to declare what God's going to do before he does it. That's why it is to fulfill what God spoke through the prophet. And God actually said, and I think this is amazing, 700 years before, through a man and into a culture that nobody knew what on earth he was talking about. A virgin will have a son, give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. He must have gone, you what? What just came out of my mouth? He knew that God was speaking, but he never knew that Jesus was actually going to come as the fruit of that word through Mary. And God always speaks before he does something. And everything about Jesus and the life of Jesus is a fulfillment of what God has spoken. That's why the Christian faith didn't begin kind of with our generation, or even, actually, God didn't start to save the world just through Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. He began, it actually says even before time. Jesus always had a plan. God always had a plan to save you and to rescue you. But his choice was this virgin. And he chose this woman who nobody knew. Her name was Mary. Nobody knew about Mary. They didn't know, I should nearly said her from Adam. But nobody knew Mary and her betrothed, the man she was in love with, Joseph. And this was a young couple. Mary would have been in her teens, actually, when she received this word from God that she would bear a son and the Holy Spirit would come upon her. And she had been an insignificant, in one sense, person. She wasn't anybody that you or I would choose for the most important job on earth. Just think about that. Would you not think that Mary had a really important job? And this person, Mary, fulfilled that word from 700 years before, that she was actually the one chosen to give birth to God, Jesus, the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Mary was someone who was immediately catapulted into significance because of Jesus. She went from fairly ordinary and insignificant, but because she accepted Jesus, she became extremely significant. And this person was actually to give birth to the sign, because that's what the prophet said. This child would be a sign to you. And a sign that points to God himself saving the world. A sign of God's love. Jesus actually is a sign of God's love. The birth of this baby is a sign that God loves the world and he loves you. And it's a sign of his intention to actually identify with man, so that he can redeem mankind back to God. To take the sins of the world upon himself on the cross. He was actually born to die. And it was love that brought him. Love that took him to the cross. It was love that rose him from the dead. And it was love that one day he met you. And you accepted him, if you have, into your heart, like Mary did into her life. Mary's significance completely changed because of Jesus. And we live in a world today where significance is all about what you look like, who you know, what your intelligence is. Your significance is all about whether you do a really good job. Your significance might even come out of having kids or a family. You're significant because of the person you're either married to or because you're not married. And significance holds so much of a different value in the world than it does to God. God picked Mary out. Have you ever asked why? She was probably not the most religiously trained person. She didn't know all the scriptures like all the Pharisees and the scribes. I mean, if you wanted Jesus to grow up to know God, you'd probably put him in the house of a Pharisee who really knew God and loved God, because some of them did. You might have wanted to put him into the house of kind of some royal, where he'd have all the privileges and grow up with all the trimmings and everything that he ever wanted, everything that could benefit him and his education. But God chose Mary and Joseph, this couple that were actually insignificant in man's eyes. But I believe he chose them because he trusted them. He trusted that they would accept the call and accept that God was going to do something that they couldn't themselves do. Mary is known for accepting what is impossible with man is possible with God. Because God said to her, after she says, "How is this going to happen?" "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And you will conceive and give birth to a son." And so Mary was trusted because she accepted that call to have the Lord, the Christ, the Savior of the world, living in her. And she accepted the call to give birth to this child that would actually bless and save the whole world. And God chose her because he trusted her to say yes and to believe for the impossible. Now, I don't know what your life is and your significance is all tied up in. I don't know what your reputation, what kind of reputation you want. But if you really belong to God and you've accepted Jesus, you will know that you've got the most important job on earth. You're that significant to God because he chose you to have God through the Spirit living in you. He chose you to be the dwelling place of God. He chose you to bring his son to the world. I call that fairly significant. And Christmas, when we think about Christmas, we think about years ago when God came, and it's good to think about that. It's good to think about Mary. It's good to think about what she did in saying yes and believing that God would do that in her. But I think we need to make it relevant for us. That we become significant, not because of our brains, not because of our upbringing, not even because of our talents, although God wants to use all of that for his glory. But you and I are significant because we have Christ in us. If we have accepted him and are born from above by accepting Jesus as our Savior of sins for sins and our Lord and King. And that moment that we accept him, we are born again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in you. Now it's Christ in you the hope of glory. It makes you significant. You are significant because of who lives in you. You are a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, we normalize these truths. But actually, what does it mean? What did it mean for Mary to actually have Jesus? Well, it meant that she had to change her life. Look, the reality was, she got pregnant. And the reality in that culture was, you didn't do it. You didn't do that before you got married, before you came together with your partner. And Joseph knew that it wasn't him, because they were a set apart couple. And they must have been talked about. They must have been rejected for taking on the call. They must have had a lot of hassle. But not only that, they had the Son of God at home with them. In other words, God himself moved in. He didn't just move into a service. He moved into their life. And sometimes I think we think being a Christian is praying a prayer. But he's come to take over your life. He's come to actually live in your home. He's come to actually be Lord of raising your kids and having the right relationship as a couple. He's not only come to do that, he's come to tell you where you're living. Mary and Joseph had to go off to Egypt because that's where God said they needed to go, to get out of the way of Herod, who wanted to kill children. So they nipped off to Egypt for a while, led by God. Then they came back. Where shall we live? Well, because the word of God had been spoken, they lived in Nazareth. Because that's where God wanted them to live. And so all their choices as a couple were taken out of their hands by saying yes to Jesus. And we've been singing, "You are my King. You are my King, Jesus. You are my King." And that means we accept him as King of all. King over our lives, over our choices. But most of all, we accept the amazing significance of having God living in us. May the Lord open our eyes to see the Christ in us. The Christ in us. Not the baby, the risen, resurrected, glorified, King of Kings, the victorious one in us. If you have Christ in you, you are the most blessed person there is in this world. There is no one more blessed than you are. And if you don't have Christ in you, he wants to come in. He wants to save you from your sins. He wants to do the impossible for you, change your whole life for the better, and bring a revelation of God that you never had. You get to know God himself by accepting Jesus Christ. Now let's turn to Luke, and we're just going to finish with this, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Christ in us. What a miracle. Think about yourself now with Christ in you. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Think about heavenly things. Think about the truth that sets you free. Think about what's true of you if you've accepted Jesus. You are so significant to God because you carry his Son. Doesn't it make you an ordinary person? Don't you think sometimes? I think about my life. I was born into a family where I had a younger brother, and he's still very brilliant with his brain. I have a sister who is absolutely outstanding musician. She went to school, music school, when she was, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, because she was so good. She needed that training. So I had a brilliant brother who is now a professor in a university in engineering. I have a brilliant sister who's an amazing musician. My elder brother was so much better than me in everything. He was always nice. I think that's his brilliance. He accepted Jesus at a very young age, and he was always, always like Jesus in his relationship. And then there was me. Not that good at anything. Certainly the black sheep of the family. Without question, if you asked anybody, and you asked Joan here, who knew me years ago, I was definitely the one you wouldn't expect to be here. All of the others you'd think qualified. You wouldn't choose me. And I love how God turns things upside down. And you can read it in Corinthians, where it says, not many were wise when you were called. Not many noble. Not many kind of the things that the world values. But God chose the foolish things, i.e. me, of this world, to put to shame the wise. The weak things to shame the strong. And the things that are not. See, I was an are not. But I'm not an are-not anymore. I'm a someone who's in Christ. I have Christ in me. He is my significance. He makes me significant. I knew he always loved me, but I didn't always have him living in me. I was 27 when I accepted Jesus Christ, and I was born again. And unless you're born again, you can't enter heaven. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. But 27 years old, I was gloriously born again. Just as Jesus was born that day, so I was born in Christ. And now, I am not ordinary. Not because of my job, but because of Christ in me. He is my significance. It doesn't mean to say God doesn't choose some brilliantly minded people. Paul was one of the most educated men of his time. But his absolute life became insignificant because of Christ in him. Otherwise, you wouldn't know Paul today. He'd have been forgotten in his generation. And you definitely wouldn't have known Mary and Joseph. They're only significant because of Jesus. You know, the only reason we remember their names. And all over this nation, and probably all over the world, Mary and Joseph are being reeled out this time of year through nativity plays. And so everybody knows Mary and Joseph. And I want to tell you, you've got eternal significance. Everybody in heaven knows you as a son of God. We're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are significant, not because of what you do, not because of what you have done, but because of Christ. In you. What amazing grace. We've been singing about it this morning. He has been born again. And he lives in us. He has caused me to be born again. Sorry. And he lives in me. He lives in you. I forget where I was going, but that's good. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to finish with this. I think I am. Are you getting something from the Lord this morning? Your life is significant in Christ. He is our life. It makes you someone significant. When thousands would pass you over, he didn't. They'd have passed Mary over every time, but he never passed you over. He says, I'll choose you. Why? Because I know you'll accept me. I know you'll say, let it be to me according to your word. I know you'll be one who will be an obedient servant. So I'll come in to a heart that's like that. A heart that says yes, Jesus, to what you say. A heart that says yes, even if it costs me. A heart that says, my life's yours, Jesus. A heart that says, my home's yours, Lord. A heart that says, wherever you say go, I will go, Lord. That's the kind of heart that Jesus loves to live in. Amen. Luke chapter 1. And here we see verse 34. How can this be? So, you know, how can you and I have God in us? How can we be significant in this world and for eternity? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relatives, are going to have a child in her old age, for she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. We accept, don't we, that Jesus has become our Lord and Savior. And when you did, the moment you did, Christ came to live in you. But I believe we need to constantly accept the truth that he has come to live in us. And nothing is impossible with him. Nothing. Whatever's going on, whatever's happening. Nothing's impossible with God. He can do the impossible in ordinary people's lives. He can change and bring water into wine. He can take something that is dead and make it live. He can turn something around from being useless into useful. He can turn a situation of addiction and hopelessness into freedom and purpose. God has an answer, and his name is Jesus. Jesus is the plan. Not just a plan of many plans. He is the plan. Christ in you is the plan. And Christ through you is the plan. You are significant because God lives in you. But you're also significant because God wants to bring Jesus into the world through you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, because nothing is impossible with him. Do you want it to be according to his word in your life? Nothing is impossible with him. Do you want that word to work in your life? You see, the Christmas is about the miraculous. What's not possible for you to do, God can do. The Holy Spirit will do it. Not man, but God will do it. And our part is to believe that everything is possible. And yes, Lord, be it to me according to your word. You are not here for an ordinary life. Tell the person next to you, you're not here for an ordinary life. You're not here just to sleep, eat, go to bed, open your Christmas presents. Nice though that is. You're here to see the Son of God revealed to you and through you, in you and through you. You're significant. The devil works to tread people down. He works to tell you to lie, to say you're not significant. You've got no part to play. You're not important. God says, yes, you are. You're that important, I came to live in you. And our value system is completely different now. He is our significance. With God, nothing is impossible. Shall we stand?
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.